Second hour of our extra Sunday edition and first summer edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world. And if they've got internet access, the best way and the fastest way to pick up the stream, go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left and then Listen Online. You'll be all set up to stream the show. Check us out on Facebook, Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And golly, it is an extra Sunday edition. So we are catching up and making up for missing them on the first Sunday of the month. And that would be our guests until 11 today, Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And if you missed us in the first hour, we just heard all about Beth's big scare with leptospirosis, for heaven's sakes. And but it's something, you know, I'm so glad you guys are here and we're able to share this story and that we can share it with everybody, because it's obviously something that we never really think about or pay any attention to. But it's obviously around, there's enough of it around that Beth, you came up with the lepto, and so it's important for everybody to know about it and make the right decision about whether to vaccinate your dogs, and then to just know. If your cats are bringing in rats, or you're out there, you know, dealing with, and there's more than, you mentioned it before we ended the last hour, Merritt, that it's not just lepto you got to be concerned about with, there's a kind of rats with that hunt. What's that?
Hantavirus.
Yeah, hantavirus. And that was something that was in the news, wasn't it? You know, maybe last year or in the last few, what was the actor that had dementia and his wife that were found dead in their home?
Gene Hackman. And,
pardon me?
Gene Hackman and his wife. But
yeah, and didn't his wife died of the hantavirus, didn't she?
Right. Untreated.
And that wouldn't the type of exposure for that would be maybe cleaning out an area that has rat excrement or something, and you know, and
Airflow.
yeah, and if it comes up in the air and you breathe it, that's how you. So you want to be careful, and you know, but we have a lot of tools that we don't often think of using, and it just our simple masks, you know, and with the pandemic and all of that, we all have masks. We all know how to wear them. We've gotten used to all of that. But then look at what I did a few weeks ago. I went out happily mowing my grass and was so happy to be out there mowing. I didn't even think about putting on a mask, and I'm mowing and blowing through clouds and clouds of cottonwood. And for crying out loud, I had a big reaction, and I didn't have a voice for 3 weeks. You know, I finally have my voice back. But you know what? When I'm mowing and blowing now, I wear a mask. It's just a wise thing for me to do because of the allergy thing and all of that. But you know, we need to be more careful and more aware of what we're doing. And if you're cleaning out areas that could have rodent excrement and that sort of thing, and it's a dry area, you know what the heck? Grab one of those masks, put it on in general principles when you clean.
I once had occasion to clean out an attic that was just full of rat droppings. I was aware of hantavirus. I was also aware of leptospirosis, but not in this environment. But
Ah.
what I did is I sprayed the droppings with a very light mist of water so that it was damp, so that not wet, damp, so the dust wouldn't rise. And then I wore a mask and I wore gloves and I got it all swept out on a tarp and safely carried away. But I made sure there's good airflow there too. And
Well, that sounds very wise. That's what we all have to be, I think, these days. But anyway, thank you so much for sharing those stories. So, hey, can I have to know, can you take us to this? When I saw this headline, "Gators grab people, Python panic grips Florida, and Jaws is still scariest of all." What a way to catch people's attention. It sure caught mine.
We're at the 50th anniversary of the debut of Jaws, which was, I think, Steven Spielberg's first great film, still
Right.
considered the scariest ever. And Beth still won't go out into the water.
Well, I know that meant well, and they aired Jaws just in the last few days. I know some of my friends watched it. I didn't know about it ahead of time, but even if I did, you know, I don't know that I want to watch that again. It's a very good movie, and all of that, and for the time, was done really well. But you know, it's scary.
Well, Beth is from Florida, so before she was playing with rats and chickens, she was out there with the alligators and the pythons and the copperheads and the water moccasins and rattlesnakes and all those good things that they have in Florida, and monkeys, and she's still got scars on her back from one monkey.
Uh-oh.
So there are all these things in Florida. There's a lot of concern about them, and a lot of the concern is actually rather misplaced because the number one panic species in Florida is the python, which in the entire recorded history of the world, wild pythons have only killed 14 people since somebody started keeping records in 1910.
Yeah, that was surprising me, and that's why I really appreciated reading, you know, and the information you put out, because I've always wondered about the python situation down there, because I don't know if my understanding is correct, but I think that the python, they're not a native species to Florida, weren't they?
It's a mixed story, though, because if
Yeah,
you
what's the deal on that? Because I don't really know for sure.
look all around the world, wherever you have crocodilian species, that's alligators, gharials, crocodiles, all their relatives, you also have giant snakes who prey on them. You have the pythons and the anacondas and so forth. And if you go back in prehistory, long before there were any mammals, the oldest known fossils of both python and crocodile were found together in the same coal mine in South Africa where they actually killed each other. Now, the way this works is that the python evolved a killing method that takes advantage of the crocodile's killing method, the death roll, and it uses that death roll to constrict the crocodile. So a full-grown python is a predator of alligators, but both of them are also cannibalistic. They will eat their own young. They're not real friendly guys. You don't really want to hang out with them, but if you have to take a chance between a crocodile and a python, you're a lot safer going toward the python. Both of them are cold-blooded. Both of them only eat roughly once a week. But we're just not on the python menu. And I learned this actually years ago. I was at Kiladeo, which is a world-famous bird sanctuary in India, and I saw these washerwomen setting up under a tree with this giant python in the tree above them. They had their little kids running around in the water.
Wow.
I thought they must not have seen the python. And I went running toward them, yelling and pointing toward the python, and they thought I was insane. And they didn't speak English, but I was with a bird guide who did. And he explained to me that they deliberately set up under that python. They always did because they knew that if the python was in the tree, there were no leopards in the tree. Leopards would be a danger to themselves and their children. But the python is only going to come down out of that tree if he sees a crocodile in the river, and then he'll protect their kids from the crocodile because he preys on crocodiles.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, so pythons really do eat crocodile?
Yes, they wrap around them and they eat them. Now, they also eat a whole lot of other things that they're not particularly fussy
Because
eaters.
I think I remember seeing, a photo or a video or something, and I'm not sure when, and it was a long time ago, but it was a python. Had swallowed a crocodile, but then the crocodile was so big, and it was like the scales on the crocodile had broken through the skin of the python, so it looked like eating the crocodile killed the python. And so I kind of thought, well, maybe they don't, that's not what they normally do, but some they can digest, so they really eat a whole crocodile and it doesn't always kill, and they can digest that.
But the limiting factor for both crocodiles and pythons and sharks, for that matter, is what's called the gape, the size of the mouth when it's fully opened. A great white shark and a crocodile both have a gape that's about twice as big as the biggest python, so they can actually grab and eat much larger prey. And this is one of the things people don't think of when they think about what's a threat in Florida. Pythons never even injured anybody in Florida. It's out there hunting prey that is the right size for its gape, and we're too big.
As far as the Florida situation and pythons, how Merritt and I see it is, it's really just people bought these snakes in pet shops and then released, and they bred. It's the perfect environment for them. And now it's just a free-for-all. They're all having a great old time going hunting for pythons who aren't bothering anybody.
Well, that's what, yeah, see, I, and until I read what you wrote about all of this, I always in my mind thought that the pythons down there were an invasive species, they were pets, people released them, and now they're overtaking Florida. I always thought they were a bad thing, because they have the python hunting things, everybody goes out, and it's kind of like they do the
That's what
same
they
thing
tell
for
you.
coyotes and wolves, we don't want like that, but either, but. So I thought they were out there trying to kill him, but then reading the statistics that you posted, apparently none of that makes any difference anyway.
Well, they're not even coming close to eradicating pythons, and they never will, because the pythons are out there in the Everglades. They're underwater most of the time. They're a rather shy species. Even where they're common, they're relatively seldom seen, even as big as they are. And they have a pretty quiet lifestyle. They're not like an alligator that will lurk in the pond and stick its eyes above water, and so you can see them.
As far as I'm concerned, this is just a ploy to increase tourism in Florida to catch the
Well,
pythons.
increase. Really? Okay. So what you're saying is that And I remember you were, I was kind of astounded at how many the pythons there are and what little dent anybody's making in it. But it sounds like you're saying that it really isn't the issue everybody's making it out to be,
Oh,
and
it was an.
that they do eat alligators.
And
So
they were a missing piece of the Florida environment. As I mentioned before, this was the only place in the world where you had abundant crocodilians, 1.3 million estimated alligators, plus some crocodiles in Florida. And you did not have their major predator, the big snakes. Now they have their big snake. It's a missing part of the North.
okay. So it's part of the ecological balance when you have gators. You need big snakes to eat them.
And it's a response to global warming too. Florida has become a tropical habitat, not just part of the year, but all of the year. It's also suitable habitat for iguanas, for tegus, which is another reptile. It's suitable habitat for turtles. And all of these reptiles are now doing better because it's become their native habitat, even if on the maps it wasn't 100 years ago.
The people that want to see the pythons gone in Florida are the people that just lost my train of thought.
Well, there's a lot of people who are very paranoid about anything foreign, and we happen to be at a phase right now where people are very paranoid about human immigrants, but it carries over into their attitudes toward animals.
Yeah, they're if I can, they'll. What they're saying is they're eating the native species and they're causing an imbalance by eating the native species.
Alligators eat
This is
exactly the same menu.
the Australians do the same thing. Too many kangaroos.
Yeah, I was thinking kangaroos popped in my mind. I was thinking how that must relate because I think they kill lots of kangaroos too.
And actually, all of the major sporting shoe manufacturers have now agreed to stop using kangaroo leather in their shoes. That was
Oh yeah, that was in one of your stories recently.
another of our recent stories, a campaign waged by Wayne Pacelli of Animal Wellness Action, who's been campaigning on behalf of kangaroos for all 30-odd years that I've known him, and he's finally begun to have a lot of success with that. Adidas pulled out. And many of the other major shoemakers immediately followed. Several others had already got out of it. Mizuno was the last one. They're no longer making kangaroo leather sports shoes.
And people are making money off of videos, making fools of themselves trying to catch these giant pythons in Florida. All you have to do is go to social media. It's all over. Just complete fools of themselves trying to get the biggest snake, fighting with the snakes. They have little nicknames, women, men, all joining in to do this. And
Yeah, but it sounds like it's totally not necessary.
it's not necessary.
It's just for fun.
But I also have to mention.
And that the pythons actually, even though they, populated the area because, we irresponsible humans let our pet pythons go, it's still, like Merritt said, it was a missing piece of the ecosystem. When you've got all the gators, you gotta have big snakes to eat them. So
Right.
it's part of the balance of the whole thing.
Another thing I want to mention is pythons absolutely are not appropriate pets.
Yellow.
They grow too big. They're like a giant coiled spring. People put them in these little glass tanks, and sooner or later, the python gets big enough that it can just flex its muscles and burst open the tank and escape. And pet pythons, since 1980, have killed 18 people, or excuse me, 14 people in the United States and Canada. Well, this is more. Pet pythons are actually very few in number, have killed more people than all the wild pythons on record in the entire world combined since 1910. So don't get a python. You leave the pythons alone out in the wild where they belong.
Yeah, well, and we got to take care of advertisers, but the creepiest Python story ever, and I think it was a probably Facebook or something. I have no idea if it was true. What got you when you saw the story was a gal, a young woman, and laying in bed with a python laying all around her. And the story was that she was very concerned because she loved her python and they slept together every night, and then she thought they had this great relationship. And but she was very concerned that there was something wrong with her python because it wouldn't eat, and it kept not eating and kept not eating. And so I think you said they only eat once a week anyway, but so this python was refusing meals and wouldn't eat, wouldn't eat. So she went to the vet with the python. And the story was, so the vet said, "Nothing wrong with your python. And it's not that he's not eating, it's that he's preparing to eat you." You know, that because that's what python, you know, they don't eat for long. If they're going to have a great big meal, they know it's coming, and this, you know, is around you. So the snake is preparing to eat you. So you got to stop sleeping with your snake. So anyway, but that's always kind of gave me the creeps. And but well, there's so many things, and that's, you know, we have our domestic animals that have been domesticated for, you know, forever, and do, you know, are not capable of living on their own and are great companions. But a lot of the exotic species, they're not intended to be companions and pets and all that sort of stuff. And we don't do them a service by keeping them in confinement. But anyway, let us go ahead and take care of our advertisers. You did something you said reminded me of another recent post where you talked something about the immigration, immigrants, and stuff going on. But I remember one thing, something that caught my eye recently, what you've been posting, with all the disaster going on in this country and everyone upset about, you know, the ICE agents and the raids and taking people and all of that, and there's just so much turmoil going on with everyone with all of this. There apparently is maybe one good thing in that, because what I'm taking from what you were writing, Merritt, is that at least they're waking up to the cockfighting industry, because apparently that's where a lot of the immigrant criminals hang. So anyway, I think there's a story to that. So let's find out about that. Maybe maybe a little bit of a silver lining in all this, you know, capturing of immigrants and trying going after criminals and stuff. So anyway, we're going to take care of advertisers. Stay right where you are. We'll be back. Merritt and Beth Clifton are with us for the hour. Well, more stories from animals24-7.org. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Going our own way every day. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and gosh, we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. And so we heard from our new pro supplements, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. And all you got to do is wait a little longer, and when we get to the 11 o'clock hour, that Janice will be joining us, and we will be talking all about the new pro supplements. And we didn't even get to the great one of their relatively newer products that we rarely get to talk about, their Life Spice for older dogs, and really great stuff. Anyway, we'll be talking all about that in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. And check out the Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline. It's now in Jude's home. Plenty of parking, great access, and phenomenal healing work for physical bodies, but she can also help you energetically, you know, with stress and all of that sort of thing. Check her out at whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. And oh, she's posted a wonderful sound attunement for the solstice. You can find at Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. Or you can just give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty, back to our conversation with Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. And I forgot to ask you guys when we started off, I'm still pretty cloudy. It's starting to, been pretty dark, look like, but it's lightening up a little bit. What's the weather doing over on Whisby Island?
Pretty much the same thing that you described. The fog is beginning to lift. We thought we might get our mirage out the window, where sometimes we get this giant mirage island.
Wow.
Several times. It's there for 10 minutes and then disappears. But so far, no mirage.
Oh, wow. That's weird. All right. Was I right in remembering? I think there was a recent article from you about the cockfighting. Right. And all that. So catch us up. Are we making some progress there?
Yes. Cockfighting, if you look at who's been busted for cockfighting over the last 20 years, around 70-75% of the people busted have been Hispanic, primarily Mexican-American, Puerto Rican-American. The other 30% or so have been white guys, primarily from the Appalachians, and many of them associated with the Ku Klux Klan, because the Ku Klux Klan made a lot of its money as running a protection racket, having infiltrated the various sheriff's departments, protecting cockfighting, dogfighting, gambling, and prostitution. Those are the four pillars of the KKK's financial apparatus. So for some time now, Steve Hindy of Showing Animals Respective Kindness has been investigating the cockfighters, primarily the Ku Klux Klan guys in the Southern Appalachians and in Blount County, Alabama, which is more or less a really long time Klan stronghold. And he's been pointing out over and over to the feds that many of these guys they do business with are in fact illegal aliens up from Mexico. It's the damnedest thing. You have the most racist guys on the planet doing business with the cockfighters from Latin America. And finally, ICE paid attention. They raided one of these big cockfights, and they nabbed 55 illegal aliens, we believe from the Philippines as well as Mexico. This was just last week. It's one of the biggest cockfighting raids in many years. Just before that, there were several other cockfighting raids in Texas in particular, where they also nabbed a lot of illegal aliens. And that's really no surprise, because cockfighting to begin with is a felony in almost all states, and it's closely associated with illegal gambling, drug traffic. It's got the highest rate of murder among participants.
Yeah, but it really hasn't been an industry that anybody's gone after, right? It's kind of been sort of protected, and aren't often sometimes the sheriffs or the authorities involved and all of that. But apparently with this whole immigration thing, that's changed a bit.
Finally, some of them are getting busted, and some of the crooked sheriffs are getting busted. One of them just got busted last week in Louisiana, who's apparently been protecting cockfighting there for quite a while. It's been illegal in Louisiana since 2008. And finally, this guy's been caught, but he's built a career in law enforcement. Now, there's another guy, big-time expose. We did an expose of this, a guy named Anthony DeVore, who heads a pro-cockfighting organization, but has insisted that he's just raising chickens for shows. DeVore got busted in Oklahoma, actually got caught, videotaped, no less, him and his partner, Blake Pierce, both videotaped at a cockfight. And, of course, we did an expose of that. We included some of the photos. The guy can no longer deny that he is, in fact, actually a cockfighter. So there's a lot happening on that after many, many years of it being a fairly major branch of crime that was ignored. And it is closely associated with violence. The big one is in Philippines. There are 31 cockfighters disappeared in 2022, believed to have been murdered. Turns out now it's probably more like 100 cockfighters that were murdered.
Wow. In the Philippines? Wow.
Where they buy a lot of their gamecocks, actually, from American breeders. Technically, it's a traffic that should be illegal, but people have looked the other way and it's gone on. But there have also been a number of mass murders in cockpits in Mexico within the last couple of years. More than 20 people killed in one of them, including a kid from here in Washington who was down
there. I was wondering, is there much of that going on in our state?
Yes, there is.
Wow, you're kidding. Wow.
I'm aware of at least three cockfighting-related murders that have occurred in Washington over the last 20 years.
Wow.
And there are cockfights in some of the rural areas every weekend, and they're not even hard to find.
There's a lot of money involved, and it's a very violent blood sport. So,
Wow.
We're dealing with violent people.
So we still got a lot of that going on, it sounds like, everywhere in the country. But the good news right now is that at least this whole going after criminal immigrants is at least helping in this industry, because at least somebody's paying attention now and busting these cockfighting get-togethers and so forth.
You want to catch criminal immigrants, that's one of the two easiest places. The other easy place to catch them would be at what's called COLA competitions, which is steer tailing.
That's right. Tell us, that sounds awful.
Mexican rodeo.
Charreada is Mexican rodeo. It has 9 standard events.
Charreada?
Right.
Is that what it's called, Charreada? And that's right. A Mexican rodeo?
Three of those events are identical to what goes on in U.S. rodeo. And there's another event that's just for women, which is nonviolent. It's precision. It's closer related to dressage. So we're not worried about that. But there are the manganas events, which are roping horses by their front and back feet, are illegal because they break so many horses' legs in several states, I believe California, Colorado, Illinois. And then there's the steer tailing, COLA, in which steers are released to run and they're chased by guys on horseback. And the idea is to reach down, grab the steer's tail, and between grabbing the tail and kicking the steer with the booted foot, drop the steer. Now, this really has no practical application whatever in ranching, because you're injuring the animal, who may then not be saleable, might develop a broken leg, broken horns, and they frequently rip the tail off. It's called degloving. It's incredibly violent. And they run the animals through the chutes to be chased over and over, 20 times or more, according to the videotape that Steve Hindy has gathered over the years of these COA competitions.
And are these competitions going on in this country?
Yes. There's two or three every weekend in the greater Chicago area. There's probably some here in Washington, except that nobody is trying to document it.
Wow. There's
400 a year known to be held in California, but the guy that...
Holy moly! Really? Oh my gosh.
Stuff is now 85 years old, so his ability to document and expose it is somewhat limited. He doesn't drive anymore.
And
but
the
it goes on.
The city and county fathers who give these permits and allow this to go on is doing absolutely nothing. None of them. They're afraid. They're saying it's our culture. This is what we do. And they're doing absolutely nothing to protect these animals. All of them, nothing.
One of the worst offenders in doing nothing is the entire administration of J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. He's a Democrat. He's put himself up as a possible opponent to Donald Trump.
Well, and I wanted to bring that up because he has been fairly popular in the Democratic world, and he has done quite an admirable job of speaking out against the current administration and what's going on. And I think, as you said, is becoming a contender to run for president. Okay. And I've watched him. I've watched some of his speeches and all of that, and was fairly impressed and thought, well, good for him. You know, he's taking a stance, speaking up. That's great. And then I read what you guys had to say. And it's like, oh, my goodness. So everybody out there, you listen to what Merritt and Beth are telling us about this, because he seems like a good guy. He needs to stop this. So what's going on? He's protecting this industry and his state?
Exactly. From top to bottom, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, which has authority for humane enforcement in the state of Illinois, has just plain basically stopped responding to any animal protection laws that may protect the steers in COA, or for that matter, crack down on cockfighting. They've been extremely weak on anything that may involve anybody from the Spanish-speaking community who Pritzker counts on his side. Now, personally, from having lived in the San Jose barrio, having helped to publish a Chicano literary magazine for a couple of years, I know that the vast majority of Spanish-speaking people do not approve of cockfighting, would not approve of COA if they see it, but they don't see it. And what politicians tend to see is who's given the money. So if
Chris, all right, so we're going to have to, folks, if this is JB the Pritzker, if he gets any more popular and really gets on the road, then there's got to be a big campaign to tell him he better clean up his act in his state for animal rights and animal cruelty, and shut down the cockfighting and the steer tailing and all that kind of stuff, you know, or he isn't the right person. I think a lot of this stuff going on, I know all the disasters going on in this world have to happen in this country, because it's just gotten so bad that it all needs to come to light and we need to get rid of it. So it's just so good that Merritt and Beth, that you do this work and bring all of this to our attention, because most of us wouldn't know what's going on if there weren't somebody like you to report on it and tell us what's going on.
He recently got back from Mexico, Pritzker, trying to bring Mexican commerce to Illinois. So a lot of politics involved.
Uh-huh. Well, but it's something we want to keep our eyes on. All right. Now, once again, we have avoided Bigfoot stomping around on the clock here. So before he gets crazy, we will take care of our advertisers for the last time in this hour. And then we will continue with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. We'll find out what else they think we ought to know about here going on with the world of animals. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, inviting you to join me on Talk Cosmos Sunday, June 22nd, 1 p.m. Pacific, for the summer's new vibration, starting with the solstice portal energies. Discover what primary frequency, pattern, shape our consciousness all summer. Revealed through vibrational astrology by the master teacher, researcher, author, and innovator, Linda Berry. Yes, come journey with us, Talk Cosmos Sunday, June 22nd, 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? Running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and now we're winding down the second hour of our extra edition of Animal World this month. And we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We did hear from Linda Rasmussen, our wonderful bioenergetic synchronization technique best practitioner. And you can, she can work with you in her office, the Interspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery, or remotely like she does on the air when she's here the second Sunday of the month. And I just want you to know that she continues to offer a free introductory session to any of you that call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. And if she's worked with you before on the air, that doesn't count. You can still have a free session with her. The number to call or text her at for a free in-person or remote best session with Linda Rasmussen is 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. All righty. We are talking with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. So what else? What are the big, any other big stories, stuff going on with animals that we should know about before we run out of time?
Having said a few bad words about the Democrat Pritzker, I'll say a few bad words about the Republican Trump.
Ah, okay.
He's gotten
That's easy to do.
He's gotten a lot of good publicity lately among animal people because they added pangolins to the U.S. endangered species list. A
pangolin
is a sort of an armadillo-like creature, a very cute animal that lives in trees. And it's endangered worldwide, been listed by the IUCN as endangered now for some years, because it's very heavily hunted for use in traditional Chinese medicine, even though using it is strictly illegal in China. Well, he's gotten good PR for that, but at the same time, proposals to list hippopotamus and giraffe as endangered in the U.S. have been left pending for more than 6 months. Basically, because the trophy hunters like to shoot them, and they don't want to have them added to the U.S. endangered species list. So there's nobody clamoring to import penguin, but there's a lot of people that want to import hippo and giraffe trophies. And that, in turn, is endangering several of the, there's seven giraffe species, and I believe it's three of them are endangered, and the other four are what are called lookalike species. And hippos, all of them are at risk, except in a very few places where they are a bit of a nuisance. But overall, throughout Africa, hippos have been declining. And actually, they're doing better in part of Colombia, where...
Well, and of course, the Trump sons are trophy hunters, so of course they would not want these animals listed, which is really sad. Now, the other thing I heard doesn't specifically relate directly to animals, but it does, and I was appalled to read, I think just yesterday, that or might have been the day before, but that the country that the administration is putting like 300,000 acres of the Olympic National Park and Forest up for sale. That they want to sell off our Olympic National Park. I mean, I think they're doing that with national parks all over the place. I mean, what is up with that? That's going to be, anyway, that got my tea hot.
Well, putting tariffs on Canadian timber meant there's a sort of a shortage of lumber, but, the Trump administration figures it'll make up for that by cutting more national forest and, in some cases, cutting national parks. In some cases, there is a rationale for this fire prevention, where you have very old and not particularly healthy trees, but most of it is just an excuse to do more logging, and there is, of course, a lot of concern about this. Most of our national parks are very likely going to be slated for logging if the administration is allowed to get away with it.
Yeah, and do you know that there may be something that can be done to prevent the sale off of national parks and forests?
Well, first off, it's going to be a lawsuit city. There's going to be litigation on that probably for years. You can't just start up a timber industry in a place where there hasn't been one for a while. You have to have the trucks and the mills and the crews and all the rest of that stuff. So gearing up to do large-scale logging is going to take a while, and very likely before any such thing happens, the Trump administration will be out of office. But that doesn't mean they can't talk about it. It doesn't mean they can't start gearing up in hopes of another logging-friendly administration replacing them, and doesn't mean they can't try to get votes from people who think they're going to get jobs in the timber industry.
Wow. All right. Well, so we better be paying attention, though, because, you know, it's right in our backyard right now. I mean, they want to sell off part of the Olympic National Park and forest. So we need to be paying attention so we can lend our voices. But at least we found out, that there are a lot of people paying attention because the No Kings rallies and all that sort of thing were absolutely the largest protests ever in this country, and I was amazed. For the first time in my 75 years on this planet, I can't believe I've been here that long. But I've never marched or been in a protest. But by golly, I was out there, and we had. Almost 800 people in Monroe, in Little Monroe. Almost 800 people. So a lot of people are waking up and paying attention, and hopefully that's going to be helpful. Now, Nathan, you chimed in here. Apparently, you got a message from your mom about the leptospirosis stuff. What did you learn about your dog Abby and her vaccine? And
it's still an optional when Abby got the vaccine, but on a case that her friend was mentioning that about a year ago, it was still optional, but it was starting to be like a recommended administration from the vets to, you know, inject the dogs with that vaccine.
Because it's become more common and they're seeing it more often.
Yeah, it's starting to become a bit more of an issue here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I'm going to try to remember to find out more about that. So you want to pay attention. You're getting your animals or your dogs vaccinated. My dogs have always been vaccinated for leptospirosis because it was part of the core vaccines most of my life. It's only been optional since I got Robbie. But as I told you, I had him vaccinated because of where I live and the possible exposures. But it can happen, Beth and Merritt don't live in the forest in the marsh, but, you know, I have chickens and there's rodents around, and somehow you get that right combination of the urine or the feces and moisture and so forth. It's not an experience that you want to have, right, Beth?
No, it was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're so pleased that you did so well. Well, I wonder anything on a good note that we could say about animals that we could leave with.
Well, we mentioned previously the success in getting the major shoemakers to stop using kangaroo leather. That's a plus.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I read that. I didn't realize that in a lot of, you know, athletic shoes and all those things were made from kangaroo leather. I didn't even know that was going on.
Another plus is that the San Diego Humane Society is now under a permanent injunction to basically to not release friendly cats. And you know, this is a different thing from releasing feral cats as part of a trap, neuter, return program. They were doing return to field, which means basically releasing tame cats in hopes that they'll find their own way back home. And of course, many of them weren't. They were becoming coyote food and so forth. So they were sued by several other local humane organizations. They won the preliminary injunction in December, and now a week or so ago, they won their permanent injunction. The San Diego Humane Society actually put out a press release saying they had won because they had changed their rules for what they call their community cat program. Of course, they got the horse laugh from the people who sued them because what they did is they changed their rules to conform to what the judge had ordered. But that's good news for cats in San Diego.
Well, that's I can't believe it. A humane organization just letting cats go probably because they have too many of them and.
This method is, if you call it a method, it's called return to field. It's recommended by the Best Friends Animal Society, which has been promoting it. It's exactly the opposite, really, of TNR, which is trap, neuter, release of feral cats who don't depend on people, don't need human help, and they prefer to be out there on their own. But you just fix them so they don't reproduce. You know, end up with too many of them. But return to field, the idea is you just dump the tame cat and figure the tame cat will find its own way back
home. Including kittens.
That's just plain nuts.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense at all. So, yeah, that does sound, if they put a stop to that, that is good news.
That's why they got sued by a lady named Sharon Logan, an attorney named Brian Pease. And you know, they fought that case. They originally filed the case in 2022, so they had to stay on top of it for all this time before they finally got in front of a judge in what we called the cat trial of the century, and they won.
Wow. All right. Well, gosh, thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. And I'm so sorry, Beth, that you had the experience with Lepto, but I really appreciate you sharing your experience with us. And so if your experience and it helps anybody get their animals vaccinated or be a little more careful around, you know, rats and cleaning and all of that, then we've done some good work for the day. But anyway, you take care of yourself, continue to recover. And I'm assuming our Henry and Arabella, Rooster and Lady Friend, that they're doing well.
You're doing amazing.
You might have heard the background raising hell.
All right. Well, you give them my love, and you take care of yourself, Beth, and thank you for all the great work. And please, everybody, get going to animals24-7.org. Sign up for the newsletter. Then you'll be informed of everything that's going on. And donate something, because there isn't anybody else that knows more about animals than these guys, and we need them to keep us informed. So thank you for all the great work that you do, and we'll talk to you again, I guess, the first Sunday of July. That's July 6th. I can't believe we're almost in July already. But we'll talk to you again then.
Thank you, Martha.
All right.
Thank you, Nathan.
God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All righty. How fun. Boy, we always learn so much from Merritt and Beth, and now it means we've got a close out hour number two, and that means we get to fire up the love train one more time. And remember, dancing is required, and this is we're going to get our little exercise for the day and energy and juice flowing, but it also is our opportunity to send love all over the country, all over the world. And you know, boy, do we need it, because unless you're under a rock, you know. So we got to, love is the most powerful energy on the planet. We need to send it everywhere. And hopefully we'll help bring a little balance to all of this. So I energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer, just to give us a little more spiritual juice for the day and the week. Here we go. And remember, before I do this, dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere, or get on the love train, because I'm going to cruise by and pick you up, and we'll send that love all over the world. And here we go with energization prayer. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up, so stay right where you are. And Janice from NewProSupplements.com joins us for the next hour. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.